So hello everyone, this is Chris Atwood. I'm co-author of the New York Times bestseller, The Passion Test, and the upcoming Your Hidden Riches. I'm so happy to welcome you here tonight for our first in this amazing series on rituals of the rich and famous. You've been hearing us talk about rituals. If you've been following anything that we've done, the title of our new book is Your Hidden Riches, Unleashing the Power of Ritual to Create a Life of Meaning and Purpose. And one of the things as we wrote this book is we discovered is that the most successful and accomplished people in the world across many, many different fields all have rituals in their life. But the thing is, they don't generally talk about them. They're private, they're personal, and yet they often will say, if you talk to them personally, they'll say these are the things that help them to stay balanced, to create balance in their life, to be able to stay calm even when they're under intense pressure, to be able to perform at their best. And when we talk about rituals, we're not talking about habits. You know, we all have good habits and bad habits, right? And we're not talking about religious practices or superstition. What we're talking about is conscious, intentional practices that you choose to make habitual because they improve your life in one way or another. And our guest tonight is a man who has created one of the most successful investment strategies in the world today, who has been featured on television shows, and I'll read you his bio in just a second, but someone who has been practicing rituals in his personal life for most of his life and who has created a whole practice, a conscious, intentional practices that he makes habitual in his investment strategies. And as a result, he has one of the best track records of anybody in the investment industry. So without further ado, I am so pleased and excited to introduce you tonight to Phil Town. Phil is a multimillionaire, one of America's most sought-after speakers on investing. But frankly, Phil isn't your typical Wall Street investment guy. In fact, his journey in this rather enviable position is anything but typical. He was a Green Beret in the Army, became a river guide, and then became a protege of an investor who taught him investment strategies based on Warren Buffett's famous rule number one, don't lose money. And the rule number two, never forget rule number one. So Phil's first book, Rule Number One, The Simple Strategy for Successful Investing in Only 15 Minutes a Week, shot to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. His second book, Payback Time, Making Big Money is the Best Revenge, also became a number one New York Times bestseller. Phil typically addresses more than 500,000 people annually. He's shared the stage with people like Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, First Lady Laura Bush, General Colin Powell, Master Motivator Zig Ziglar, and America's Mayor, Rudy Giuliani. Phil's a regular guest on both MSNBC and CNBC, and if you got a chance to watch the video that we posted on this Hangout page before the interview tonight, then you know that he's also been featured on top investment shows and that he called the market, both when it was about to crash at the end of 2007 and when it came back again. And today, he's going to share with us how he uses ritual, both in his business, in his investment strategies, and also how rituals help him personally. So, Phil, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
You're welcome, Chris.
Yeah.
It's great to see you, man.
It's great to see you. Phil's one of my buddies. We've spent a good deal of time together. We share a few rituals as well from time to time. But, Phil, I know that you don't usually talk about your investment strategies in terms of ritual. I know you don't generally talk about your personal rituals, and yet I also know that they're very much a part of everything you do. And so let's start with the investment side. Few people would say ritual is the key to successful investment, but listening to you, I would say it's true. So how do you use conscious intentional practices habitually to create the kind of amazing investment returns that you get?
You know, I came by this in this industry from people who do use a lot of ritual. Mm. And some of the best hedge fund managers out there that I know of are really into very specific rituals. And a lot of them have the same personal rituals that you and I use every day. So you know, guys, I'm talking about. So my industry is full of people who use ritual on a daily basis, and we do that because, I mean, a lot of us do it because this industry is what you're, the difficulty of doing what we do is all wrapped up in the control of emotion. So if we can do two things, if we can stay rational and unemotional, you really would have trouble not making a lot of money in the stock market. It's cool. It's the
tell us what. Sorry to interrupt you, but tell us the kind of what you expect in terms of returns when you're doing investing, and a little bit about how you were able to call these markets when they were going down and when they were coming up, and then we'll come back to how rituals help you to figure that out.
Okay, well, we don't do an investment unless we're really quite certain we're going to get about 26% a year on it. So we. And when we look at investments, we always buy them with the idea that the stock market's going to shut down tomorrow and we're going to be owning this business for the next 10 years as if it's a private business. So we look at all the investments you can do, whether it's public stocks or whether it's buying pieces of a private business or the entire private business or buying real estate. We look at them the same way. We just look at them as a business that has to be a wonderful business that kind of fits our criteria for that, and then it has to be on sale so much that we know that if all it does is just become rationally priced again, we're going to double our money, and we would expect to see that to happen within about 3 years. And that's really kind of the essence of getting a high rate of return over a long period of time, is to be able to find those situations and act on them when everyone else is afraid to act on them. So We just remember real clearly that, you know, our teachers have taught us, the best teachers in the world in investing have taught for the last 80 years, that your opportunities exist when everybody else is fearful, and your opportunity to exit that transaction happens when everybody else gets greedy. So being rational and truthful about what you're doing, and then being sure that you stay unemotional, is really the kind of the key to it. And ritual allows you to do that. Ritual controls your actions. So we stay, you know, we kind of go into a box and we say, all right, here's this framework that I'm very comfortable investing in. And if the investment fits inside this ritualistic framework, then it's something we'll seriously consider. And if it doesn't, if it fits outside that, then we just go play golf or something.
I love that. So what was it about this way of investing that allowed you to so accurately, and you called the downturn of the market pretty much right on, didn't you?
Yeah, what we're looking at is both fundamental and technical analysis, and we've got some tools that we look at that we think will trigger when the market's starting to go down in a major way. And those tools triggered in August of 2007. So I was on CNBC, you know, having a big fight with some guy on Kiplinger who was all about, you know, buy and hold. And we think that buy and hold is dead. We think that the marketplace is so in so much turmoil now because of all the government interference, that buying and holding is just a prescription for a disaster. So we use these tools ourselves, and they said get out, and the fundamentals said get out, so we got out into cash, and I talked about that on TV. And then about a year and a half later, I was challenged by this guy on that TV show to be sure and go public when it was time to get back in. So I went public on March 10th, 2009, and I told Maria Bartiromo and the rest of the crew on CNBC that we were loading up the truck, and the market was at about 6,800. On the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It turned out it was on the day that it turned around and went back up.
Wow.
Total luck. But we were saying on TV that it's, look, we don't know if the market's going to go down to 2,500 or not, but everything we've got now says to start buying. And so we're buying up companies like Chipotle and Whole Foods. And I mean, they were just beyond cheap. And it was because there was so much fear that this was going to continue, whatever the major league problem was. And we just don't buy into the fear. We've learned over 30 years from the best teachers in the world that you just control your emotion, do the rational thing, and you know, things work out real well. And of course, they.
So give us an example of how do you use ritual, how do you use conscious intentional practices habitually to help you make good investments and do it well.
Well, we go through what we call a ruler ritual. We follow rule number one, which was from Warren Buffett, who said famously that there's only two rules of investing. Rule number one, don't lose money. And rule number two, don't forget rule number one. So, and nobody really gets what Buffett was saying except people who studied him. And we studied really hard. And essentially what he means when he says there's only one rule of investing, don't lose money, he doesn't mean, you know, buy at the bottom. What he means is focus all of your investing attention ritually, if you will, religiously. We always say religiously, but ritual would fit that quite well. Focus it religiously on just not making a mistake. So the problem that investors have is that they lose their principal. They lose their original capital. They'll make some money for a while, and then they'll lose it. They'll make some money for a while, and then they'll lose it, like a gambler. And that emotional turmoil eventually kicks you out of the market or forces you to let somebody else manage your money in a 401k. You just don't want anything to do with it because it's such an emotional trauma. So we reverse that. We completely focus on never having that emotional trauma as the major focus of our investing strategy. And to do that, Chris, we use this concept called RULER, which just stands for a series of checkpoints that we have to check off. And the first one is, am I being rational? Are other great investors in this with me? And is it a rational investment? So that's the R. U is, do you understand what you're getting into? We like to be a mile deep in any business that we are buying, so we do a lot of reading and make sure we really understand the business and what it's worth. Then the next thing is we want to make sure that it's a business that we love in some way. We use L there, R-U-L, L to mean that it connects with our value system, that we want to own these businesses as if we own the whole thing. And we want CEOs who are great people, who are working hard for all the stakeholders, not just the shareholders, but also the employees, also the suppliers, the community, the environment. We're really big believers in conscious capitalism. We want the idea to be that the people who are running our business are leaders and are leading from the front. They're not a guy out there who's a mercenary trying to take every penny out of the business he can get his hands on. You know, somebody honest, passionate about what they're doing with a big audacious goal, that's a business we can really love and get our teeth into and say, you know what, I want to see that thing in the future 20 years. So that L is real important to us, to get deeply interested in the business. The E stands for event. What happened that put this on sale? We have a lot of really smart people out there who are investing a lot of money, a lot more money than we do. And when they sell off something, there's usually a really good reason for it. And so often when they're selling things and the things are going down, they're not on sale. Something bad has happened, and that's no longer a good business. But once in a while, they'll put something on sale for good short-term reasons but bad long-term reasons. And we're looking for that as the event. Some event happened that's a short-term problem. Company's going to fix it, and we'll know that within 2 or 3 years this will recover. The R, R-U-L-E-R, the R stands for reduce basis. So once we own this investment, which we believe we bought on sale, we immediately start using dividends, derivatives, and buybacks to begin reducing our risk in that company. We start getting our money off the table so that we're targeting within 5 years, we have half our money out of that business completely, so that the market could crash 50% and we wouldn't lose a penny. And then the final S in rulers is to do a story about the business that really makes sense to us, and then invert the story, turn it on its head, and take the devil's advocate point of view. Great, you know, here's all these reasons we really love this business. It's on sale. It's a big event that happened. It's short term. We love it, blah, blah, blah. We're being very rational. Now, why are we wrong? Why are smart people dumping this thing? And then make sure we've answered every one of those questions. So inverting the story is incredibly important. It's so important that Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's partner, said, there's probably no more important thing you can do than invert the story. So we've got this ritual, Chris, and we go through it, like I said, religiously, R-U-L-E-R-S. And then we tell the story and invert it. And if we, there's no if, we've been doing that for a long time.
And what kind of returns have you typically been getting? Give us an example of, like, over the last 5 years, the last year, those sort of things.
Well, we track, we're not a public entity, so we don't have to post all this, but I'll tell you what, an entity that is public tracks us at American, let's see, AAII, what does that thing stand for? Association of American Independent Investors, I think, AAII.com, tracks about 60 portfolios like ours where it does a model portfolio and trying to track what we do. I think we're at 37% for the last five-year average, something like that, which is pretty
good. Is that all? So, Phil, this really falls into our definition of ritual, that what you're doing is you've created certain rules, practices. They're conscious, they're intentional, and you do them repeatedly, right? That you do them over and over again. And this is the way we talk about everyday rituals. They're things that improve our lives in one way or another. And I have to tell you, when we first started talking about this stuff and you shared with me how you do it and the principles that you do it under, and I realized, oh my God, this is a whole ritual structure for investment. And it was really quite remarkable to me. So thank you for opening my eyes to the power of ritual in a very practical area of life, like investment. And now I want to turn to the personal side here. And this is, I think, what's interesting about these calls. You've made millions and millions of dollars over the years. You have invested in all sorts of companies. You traveled all over the world. You've been on TV shows and been in stadiums where you're speaking to thousands and thousands, sometimes millions of people. There must be times when you're under a lot of pressure, a lot of intense scrutiny. What are the personal things you do to stay balanced, to be able to perform your best, to be able to have a balance between your family life and your work life? What are those rituals in your own life that help you to be at the top of your game?
Well, I believe in a pretty disciplined life within reason, and that means that we have a pretty good schedule we try to follow. I say we, my wife and I, and when our kids are here, they kind of follow this as well. Where we get up in the morning, we're on a horse farm, so we're up pretty early. And we meditate for about 20 minutes and then basically just sit up and do TM, you know. I learned to do transcendental meditation back in 1972, and I've been practicing it every day since then. So, you know, it's been a while, and it's that's a pretty deep routine. That's been there for a long, long time. And, you know, then we go out and start working and doing something physical every day. So we either go run with our dogs or we get on our horses and ride, and we come in and have a bite and try to get right into preparing for the day of work. So for me, preparing for a day of work means that I read, and I read a series of magazines and newspapers that I read every day, probably the same ones any investor reads, pretty much the same ones Warren Buffett reads. And that
I know, you know, if you read about Warren Buffett, one of the things, he also lives a pretty disciplined life, and he talks about how, you know, he has 7 newspapers delivered every day that he reads over breakfast every single day.
Yeah, you know, it's not, I mean, it's like you're just kind of reading to stay in the flow a little bit, and then ideas pop up, and you can take advantage of them when they happen. So reading just starts to stack up. You just do it as part of the routine. And but I got to tell you, I think of all the key stuff that we do in terms of our routine during the day, the key pieces are to meditate. We try to meditate twice a day. We try to get in good exercise twice a day. We work with our animals, which kind of takes us outside of our own, you know, kind of focus. And we work with big animals. These horses we raise and train are you know, 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pound horses, and they can be, you know, they can give you a serious, they can, you can get hurt. And so we are very careful about it when we're working with them, and that kind of focus on something else is such a wonderful thing to be able to do that.
Well, that's what I hear, is that, you know, you've got this intense intellectual activity in studying the businesses and looking at the investment opportunities, and then to be able then to get out and do something physical that is using other parts of you, you know, other things than your intellect. It has to be one of the key things of providing balance, I would think, right?
I totally agree. Now, for me, it's getting outside, but I mean, you could probably just do this lots of different ways. So, you know, our routine for being outside is, if we're in Wyoming, we're probably snowboarding or climbing in the winter. We're riding horses in the summertime. And down in San Diego, we're surfing, or again, going for runs. So we're getting out, you know, just getting out. And we actually do that a lot. I mean, our work day is probably, you know, probably I spend about 4 to 5 hours focused on investing every day. Plus, you know, reading time and stuff like that. But there's not a lot to do for a lot of days. I mean, there's a lot of days where I do hardly anything with regard to investing. And, you know, we focus on, we do manage money for people, and so we focus on that a little bit. But we mostly are just kind of doing what we want during the day, Chris. So that's kind of
relaxing. But what I hear is that you have some key elements to your day that help to create that balance. You know, you talked about meditation. You also talked about having this exercise and being able to create this balance between the intellectual activity of your work and getting out and working with your horses. So, you know, in our book, in Your Hidden Riches, in Chapter 2, we talk about what we call foundation rituals. And in some of the ancient traditions on the planet, for example, in Ayurveda, from the Vedic tradition, they're very clear prescriptions. In Ayurveda, it's called Dinacharya, the ideal daily routine. And meditation and exercise are key parts of that. Also, regular diet, you know, eating well, eating good, healthy food, taking time. When you eat, taking time to sit for a few minutes after eating, before you get up and jump into your activity, doing some stretching exercises, yoga asanas, breathing exercises that help to just settle the whole system down. These are all, you know, kind of simple rituals that can help anyone to create balance and ease in their life. And one of the things I'm really excited about, Phil, is that you're going to be with us and joining us at the Hidden Riches Experience coming up in Chicago, October 24th to 26th. And you spoke last year, and I have to say, you were the hit of the whole conference.
Everybody
was just saying, Phil, we want Phil, so we had to have you come back again. Will you talk to people a little bit about what are they going to experience when they come and hear you in particular at the Hidden Riches Experience?
Well, I loved speaking there for you guys. I got so many hugs. It was fantastic.
Right. We're all about inspiring transformation through love. So you're going to get loved up when you come and be with us.
It's the best audience in the world to speak to. I love speaking at your audience, Chris. People are just there beaming and full of support. And so it's fun. You can just kind of let it rip. And you guys give me time to get in deeply into this concept that we just talked about. And at this event, what I'm going to do, if it's cool with you, is I'm going to go into in detail what each one of these ritual pieces, each one of these ritualistic checkboxes is all about and how to do it. So, for example, when we talk about understanding a business, in my talk, I'm going to go into what are these four things that we look at in a business, and when we have all four of them, we are in a great position to acquire that company. So I'll go into that, and people who are starting their own businesses or running their own businesses often use these things as a way of figuring out what their business should look like, because we're guys who buy businesses, and if you're building one, might be a good idea to have it look like something somebody might want to buy someday.
Really?
We're going to go into that. We're going to talk about values and how we focus on attaching our value system, you know, what we love and what we want to see in the world, how we attach that to our actual investing of our money, and what we think that does to the return on investment, and what that does in a private business and the return on investment. We've got some amazing statistics that have come out from John Mackey at Whole Foods about this, about what companies can do who are putting into practice this idea of being conscious leaders. So we're going to talk about that because we love to invest in those companies. So I will give you guys a great overview and great detail so that you can walk out of there at the end of my talk and have a much better sense of how to invest. And I think you're going to feel like you just went down the rabbit hole, or better, you just experienced the blue pill or the red pill with the Matrix, whatever that turned you on to reality. Because what I'm going to show you is what the best investors in the world have been doing for the last 80 years to make enormous rates of return, and how now you can do that too. So I look forward to that, Chris.
We look forward to it also, Phil. You know, one of the things I love about what you've set as one of your missions and goals in life is to help the little investor. You know, you've said that before. You said, in fact, one of the things I love is that you've made the point that as small investors, we actually have a huge advantage over the big institutional investors. And when you were sharing that with me, I went, really? Cool. All right. So I know that I really wanted to discover what it was that gave me that huge advantage. And I know that that's one of the things you're going to share when we're together in October, is why, as a little investors, do we have such a huge advantage over the big institutional investors, and how to take advantage of that. Isn't that true?
That's 100% right. We find that probably of all the different aspects of the things we're talking about, having people understand that it's not rocket science, and that by being a small investor, you have these enormous advantages that you're not taking into consideration when you sort of hand your money off to somebody in a mutual fund. And actually, by putting your money out there with other people, you've kind of doomed yourself to, at best, really mediocre returns, and ultimately you might be dooming yourself to a really, really mediocre retirement when you could have been living a kind of a really comfortable retirement, doing the things you want to do with your kids and not having to worry about money. So that's driving the train for a lot of people now, is to make sure that they have thought about all the different opportunities carefully, and how to invest that limited amount of money that you have and get to a great retirement. And I think if we focus on that for a little bit of time out there with you guys, we can really help you push that one down the road a bit.
Awesome. So it's time for us to wrap up. It goes by so quickly. I want to invite all of you to click on the button below our video tonight and check out the Hidden Riches Experience. Look, we have amazing speakers. Phil is incredible, and there are many others. Marsha Weider, who will be interviewing in the next couple of weeks, will also be there. And as you look at this, the reason I hope that you'll come, that you, is, of course, to learn why so many, in fact, every successful person I've ever met incorporates rituals into their lives, and how you can incorporate meaningful and useful rituals into your life. That's an important and valuable thing you're going to get out of this event. But I think even more valuable is the opportunity to be there and to connect with people who you'll fall in love with, that you will find that your life is so enriched in so many ways, not just by the speakers, but by the attendees. Just as Phil was saying, that the audiences, the people who attend these events, are truly remarkable people, just as you are. And if you know that you're unique, if you know that you're remarkable, then this is the place for you to be. You'll have an experience unlike any that you've ever had before. You'll find yourself going deeper and falling in love more completely than you have any time in your life. You'll find yourself learning practical tools and principles and ideas that you can go home and put to work immediately. But you'll also find that you'll make friendships and connections that will continue long beyond this event. So come and be with us. Just click the button below. You'll see this amazing lineup that we have and the amazing experience that is created for you. You'll also see the quite remarkable bonuses that we've included for you. So please check it all out. We look forward to being with you. And Phil, I can't wait to be with you in October again. And thank you so much for taking this time tonight to be with us and share with all of us, both your rituals that have allowed you to be so successful in your business and also the personal rituals that have allowed you to be such a warm, amazing, giving person. So thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Chris. And really, I think everybody, unsolicited plug here for Chris's event. It is phenomenal. I mean, I really loved going to it. I loved what I was learning there. And I got to tell you, everything he teaches you guys, I've been doing for a long, long time. Chris and I have come out of a similar experience. And I'll tell you, this stuff is real, and it will change your life. So if you can get there, get there, and I'll see you there.
All right. Bye, everybody. Take good care.